Wurrunga house was a phony English-looking job with gables and the inevitable BMW in the driveway. Inside, the good taste was professionally pre-packaged. But the house felt unloved, unlived in. When I met the owner, I realised why. Nobody home there either.
It's a custody case.
The space between divorcing couples is like the Somme, littered with the bodies of the innocent and the foolhardy. It'd take more than a shot of whiskey to make me go over the top.
Of a sort.
What sort?
The objects of the dispute are canine.
Dogs? You're having a custody battle over dogs?
Two dogs, to be precise.
Ooh. Big dogs? Savage dogs? German dogs?
No, no. Well, biggish, but not savage. Definitely not savage. On the contrary, they're very friendly. They're English sheepdogs. Stan and Ollie. Here's a photo.
At least one member of the family had a sense of humour. I examined her photograph. Fiona MacLeod had long brown hair, Carly Simon teeth, legs like Linda Ronstadt's before she got fat, and a definite glint in her eye. I wondered how she'd stuck it out so long with the young Winston. I take it your wife wants the dogs.
My wife has the dogs, Mr. Fish, and I want them back.
Well, whose dogs are they?
Mine. I paid for them.
I get the feeling Mrs. MacLeod isn't just going to hand the dogs to me on a platter. How do you want me to go about getting them back?
Use your judgment.
It'll cost you. He named a fee. I sat tight, mentally factoring in rabies, fleas, the indignity of it all, and the glint in Fiona MacLeod's eye. He cracked and raised it. Now I had an idea how much he wanted to punish his wife. I demanded a bonus of $5,000 on delivery of the dogs safe and well. He paled, protested, and capitulated. I was bored. So where are Stan and Ollie and Mrs. MacLeod?
I don't know. She's gone underground.
Well, who does she know who doesn't like you and has room for two big dogs?
There's her friend, Lucy Legay. She lives in Palm Beach. Her brother, Ambrose Pierce. Ambrose has a flat in Double Bay. And her mother, Mary Woods. She's married to a farmer with a property outside Gleninus.
I can't see two English sheepdogs in a flat in Double Bay. The neighbours would have a fit. So it's Palm Beach or Gleninus, I reckon. How does she get on with the mother?
It's a very close family. Very close.
I'll start with Lucy Legay. But I'll need a cover. What does Fiona do?
Fiona shops.
Before she got married, then?
She was an airline stewardess with Qantas.
And when was this?
82 to 88.
I'll be on my way, then.
Well, I'll show you out. Just one thing, Mr. Fish. Fiona is no fool. And she has an extensive knowledge of the male psychology.
Fiona MacLeod was beginning to interest me. I needed a bit of excitement in my life. First, Palm Beach. Hangout of silvertails and surfers. And more recently, reclusive heroin dealers and bestseller writers. Lucy Legay's house was what locals like to call a shack. In this part of the world, a shack starts at about $500,000.
I'm out the back in the garden.
Mrs. Legay?
Yes?
I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm Sid Fish. I write for the Qantas Staff magazine. I'm doing a feature on former hosties. I wanted to talk to Fiona MacLeod. I was told you might know where she is.
Did you ask her husband?
Well, Mr. McLeod seems to have lost touch with his wife. He's the one who gave me your name.
Really? Poor Hamish. It's hot and I need a drink. Care to join me, or are you one of those dreary people who won't touch alcohol before sunset?
What sun?
Let's go on to the veranda. You can see the water from there. I'll be out in a minute.
I tried not to do too much full frontal staring as Lucy Legay busied herself making us drinks and rustling up some snack food. Small boned and light on her feet like a dancer, she had dark blonde wavy hair cut to show off her long neck. Green eyes, a golden tan, and good cheekbones.
Fiona's staying with her mother in Glen Innes. Might be a bit far to go for an interview.
You might be right.
How is Hamish, by the way? What did he say about Fiona?
No, not much. No love lost there, I'd say. But he didn't give away much. He's a pretty cold sort of a bloke.
Cold men are the most dangerous sort. Do you want another drink?
Yeah, thanks. You worked with Fiona?
Yes.
Well, maybe you can tell me then. Why would an intelligent woman want to be a flying tea lady?
It was a damn sight better than being a doctor's receptionist and marrying a bank clerk and moving into the same street as your parents. And let's face it, where else would you meet that many men?
So did you meet Mr. Wright on QF11?
Not exactly. I met him in Singapore.
Seems to have worked out rather well.
I may have the house, but I don't know if I've still got the man. My husband disappeared 3 years ago on a business trip in the Philippines, as far as the police can tell. He might even be dead.
What was he doing in the Philippines?
Oh, I never asked.
Why not?
I suppose I was afraid.
I take it you didn't think he was selling office equipment.
No, that's not Jean-Paul's speed at all.
You've been living here by yourself all this time.
Yes, I have my garden and a few friends.
I was living dangerously again, falling in love with Lucy Legay and planning to steal her best friend's best friends. But then I needed the money. And unless Fiona spotted me, Lucy would never find out.
Oh, it's getting dark. I'll turn on some lamps.
This is very Somerset Maugham. I expect Sadie Thompson to walk in any moment.
At least it's not raining. Would you like a smoke?
Why not?
I watched as she rolled some joints with small brown hands. She wasn't wearing a wedding ring. We had a smoke and talked softly, filling in bits of our past. She used her hands a lot when she talked. I must have been staring at them because she flushed suddenly and folded them in her lap. I'd have to watch my eyes.
You smoke much of this stuff?
Oh, only since Jean-Paul disappeared. Daydreams are better than nightmares.
Such melancholy in her voice. She'd kicked off her sandals and put one bare brown foot on the coffee table. I leaned over, picked it up, and stroked it, and ran my tongue along the soft inside of her soul, watching her face. Her eyes closed.
Sid, I haven't done this for such a long time. You'll have to be patient with me. Let's go inside.
Lucy had a wonderful smell, very light, with a musky undernote. The sort of perfume you can't buy in bottles. She came to me with enormous relief, as if I'd rescued her from a desert island. In the middle of the night, she told me about her life.
Living with Jean-Paul was like being on a roller coaster. When I put all the pieces together, I realized he must have been trafficking. And I'd been living on the profits. I suppose I went to pieces.
Are you okay now?
I think so. But I didn't do it by myself. Fiona dragged me through it. She's very strong.
You're that close?
Well, that's the strange part. We are now, but we weren't at Qantas. Fiona rang me up one night out of the blue when I was desperate for someone to talk to. She probably saved my life. You know what really pulled me through? This patchwork quilt. When I was going through the worst, I used to listen to music and sew my quilt. I think I sewed most of the hurt and anger into this quilt. And the guilt.
It's a long way to Glen Innes on the inland route, up Highway 15, through the Hunter, country and western land, and Armidale. The countryside around Glen Innes was green and lush, a tribute to Scottish hard work and Australian agronomy. I like to think I could drop out to one of these country towns. Everything seems simpler there. Ah, but it's probably an illusion. People shoot each other a lot in the bush.
A long black, please, and one of those buns with the pink icing. And lots of butter.
As I was soaking up the caffeine and the local colour, Fiona McLeod, her mother, and the two Disney dogs walked by. They were a little too glamorous for Glen Innes, as if they'd strayed out of a country road catalogue. In person, Fiona McLeod was athletic-looking and confident. She laughed a lot. Her marriage might be broken, but her heart appeared to be intact.
Sorry, I've got to run. Will $2 do?
Eventually, they drove off in a white station wagon with me in tow. They led me to a thriving farm with a big white farmhouse with green trims. I was too conspicuous out here, so I drove back to the highway and parked under some trees. Give me strength. It was boring and I was hungry, and absolutely nothing happened. I revised my fantasy about going bush, wasted several hours, then headed back to town. Saturday night saw me marooned in the pub, faced with the choice of the town bore, who moaned about the new gun legislation, and soaps on regional TV. I gave up and went back to my motel room and rang Lizzie Darcy on the off chance.
What are you doing at home on a Saturday night?
Oh, gee, thanks, mate. That really makes me feel better. I'm getting drunk, of course. How about you?
No, I'm still sober. The pubs are too depressing. All that talk about dieback and blight. I expected Hanrahan to walk in any minute and tell us we'd all be ruined.
Where on earth are you?
Glen Innes.
Glen Innes? What are you doing there?
Dog napping.
Oh, God, Sid. I thought you'd hit rock bottom working for a Liberal politician. Whose dogs?
This pompous ass Hamish McLeod's trying to get them back from his wife, Fiona. Yeah, she's holed up at a farm with her mother and her mother's new husband.
Old Hamish McLeod, well.
Yeah, not that I can get near the bloody dogs. Woods looks like the kind of bloke who'd shoot anyone he caught trying to lift his livestock.
Oh, shooting's too good for dog duffers. They'll hang you for sure.
Oh, thanks, mate.
What's Fiona McLeod like?
Great legs, wonderful teeth.
You're buying her to race or to breed?
Now, how the hell would I know what she's like? I haven't fronted up and introduced myself. I'm trying to be unobtrusive.
Oh, really? How? By chewing on a straw and talking out of the side of your mouth?
Yeah, and spitting in the dust.
How'd you find Hamish?
He's a pompous little prick. And vindictive. He's too piss weak to slug it out with Fiona, so he's hired me to grab the dogs.
Don't underestimate him, Sid. Cowards can get very dangerous when they're cornered.
If he gives me a hard time, I'll bounce off his bald spot.
And you'll end up in court. Listen, If Hamish turns nasty, tell him Lizzie Darcy said hello. And does he remember the conference in Manila, 1986? But only use it in an emergency. He might overreact. About these dogs. The folks in that part of the world are God-fearing Scots, Sid. I'll bet they still go to church on Sundays.
Early on Sunday morning, I returned to my posse on the highway and hunkered down to wait.
Baptist minister, the Reverend Paul Burnham, is one of a growing number.
Chewing my way through stale ham sandwiches and a piece of fruitcake so dry it must have been left over from Miss Havisham's wedding feast, I hallucinated about scones and jam and cream and a baked dinner. At 5:45, the Woods wagon appeared, heading for evening service. There were no doggy noses pressed against the windows.
Anyone home?
Hysterical barking led me to the backyard where the dogs were chained up. At least I wouldn't be done for break and enter. Stan and Ollie welcomed me with open paws. They thought I'd come to take them for a walk. They were right.
Thank you, Lizzie Darcy. Bless your little black convent girl's heart.
The timing was perfect. There wasn't a flight to Sydney till the next afternoon. All going well, I'd be in Wurunga before Fiona McLeod could hop a plane. I decided to go back the way I'd come. It was predictable, but I had a head start.
Fill her up, will you, mate? I'm going to get us something to eat.
Yeah, I've brought you some hamburgers. Yeah, that's what I thought.
I waited in the shadows while the mechanic scraped the dead bugs off the windscreen. He was about 30, compact and well-muscled, with tats and something weird about the eyes. A man with a short fuse. Presently, a teenage girl slipped from the garage to talk to the dogs. She was a skinny, fox-faced little brunette with a vivid black eye.
Nice dogs.
Yeah.
What are they called?
Stan and Ollie.
Funny names.
Yeah.
Hey, mister. How about giving me a lift?
Where to?
You're going to Sydney, aren't you?
Yeah.
That'll do. I can pay for some of the petrol.
No dice.
Please. To get away from Lance. That's my stepfather.
He give you the black eye?
Yeah.
Look, sorry, mate. It can't be done. You're underage. And I can't afford to have Lance after me at the moment. Or the cops.
Mistake. Her eyes popped open. Maybe I was an armed bandit. Anything would be better than Lance.
Tracy, get inside. I won't tell you again.
Tracy scuttled away, and I breathed again. Then went into the men's to get the stink of dogs and hamburgers off me. I was sorry for Tracy, but I couldn't save the whole suffering world. Not today, anyway.
Oh, shut up, damn you! Okay, but don't get too far away. Back in the car.
Ow!
You! Oh, get out!
Oh, no!
Look, do you realise what you're doing to me?
I could get 10 years for this.
Don't.
Look, you're a minor, for God's sake.
Oh.
Look, I'm abducting a minor.
Oh,
shut up, you stupid buggers. You're as bad as she is.
The girl climbed out and made a small movement as if to run, and I grabbed her arm. It was like holding a terrified sparrow. I stopped shouting, retracted my fangs, and turned back into a human being.
Get in the front. We're taking you home before the highway patrol catches up with me. Or bloody Lance.
God, what's that?
Oh, it's not me, it's them.
Must have been Mum's hamburgers.
Just what we know. An accident.
The racket awoke my passengers, and before I could move, Ollie was halfway out the window.
Stop him, for God's sake. He's getting away.
That wasn't my fault. He was too fast. I'll go after him.
You stay here, damn you. You want to get me arrested? Sit. Look, you keep him here while I get the other one.
I'll make a deal with you.
We'll talk fast before the deputy sheriff comes over for a chat.
I won't give you away if you put me on the Brisbane Express.
What the hell's a Brisbane Express?
It's a train to Brisbane.
Where does it stop?
Coffs, Grafton, Casino, Kyogle.
Well, Grafton's the closest one and it's bloody hours away. What's in Brisbane anyway?
Me gran. She'll let me stay with her.
All right. Anything. Look, the cop's about to bring the dog back. Get down.
Great dog, mate. All right, you can go through now.
Thanks, officer. Get in the car before I boot you up the arse.
For about 20 Ks, I harangued the girl. When I ran out of abuse, she demanded equal time. And I got her life story. There were no surprises.
Wake up, everybody. We're in Grafton. When's the next train to Brisbane, mate?
5:19.
Oh, 20 minutes. God, I'd sell my soul for a coffee. Here, I'll buy you a Mars bar.
Oh, great.
The dog snoozed and Tracy was mercifully silent. Then a couple of ghostly backpackers appeared out of the gloom and the train arrived.
Your train's here.
I know. I'm not blind.
Here's some money. Don't spend it all in one place.
Thanks, Sid.
You'll be safe on the train?
God, you're ridiculous. I'm 15.
Yeah. Send me a postcard then, so I'll know you're okay.
All aboard!
Sid, I wouldn't have dogged you in here, you know.
Please, I don't want to hear this. Hey, stay. Ollie, come here, damn you. You can't go on the train.
Go on. Get.
McLeod, Sid Fish.
Where have you been? Why haven't you kept me informed?
Now stop whinging. I've got the dogs. Meet me at the picnic spot in Keringai Chase near the kiosk.
When?
I'm about an hour away.
I found Hamish McLeod's BMW in the parking lot and pulled in beside him. As I was getting out of my car, a white Mercedes convertible glided in behind us and cut off our escape route. Fiona McLeod and a good-looking man climbed out and walked towards me. Goodbye, bonus. And goodbye, Lucy Legay. Up close, Fiona McLeod's companion looked dissipated, and the blue eyes were cold and empty. I quickly lost interest in his face when I saw the shotgun. He pointed it nonchalantly at my belly and smiled.
My brother, Ambrose.
The dogs.
What on earth have you been feeding them?
Try not to get in my way again, sweetheart. And tell your friend
to keep away from my sister.
Fiona McLeod and her brother drove off looking like any ordinary yuppie family in a car ad. I'd been trying not to show fear, but my knees were weak. Shotguns do that to you. As soon as the coast was clear, Hamish McLeod surfaced, pale and sweating.
Thanks a lot, Hamish.
Well, I don't think he would have shot you.
Just pay me and let me get out of here before I tear your cheeks off, fat face. Where's the rest?
You didn't get the dogs back safely. That was the deal.
The deal didn't have any gun-toting brothers-in-law in it. And you led them here, you moron. Let's just call it danger money.
McLeod's face set, and he folded his arms, looking like an obstinate cane toad. There was only one thing to do.
By the way, I have this really good friend. You might know of her. Lizzie Darcy?
Lizzie Darcy?
You know, the journalist. Lizzie said to say hi. She said you'd remember her from Manila. 1986, I think she said.
He seemed to deflate before my eyes, and his Mont Blanc pen fell from his fingers. I picked it up and placed it in his hand, and he wrote me another check mechanically.
Old Ambrose back in town, eh? I'd heard they'd started a clean-up in Manila. Sydney's in for a crime wave. I'd stay out of his way if I were you, Sid.
Yeah, that's what he said. Well, the least you can do is tell me what it's all about.
Well, now that you've come to Ambrose's attention, you should know what you're up against. I was covering an international banking conference. Hamish McLeod and some of the boys had a party in a hotel room, and it got a little rough, and one of the local working girls took a dive off the balcony. It was all hushed up. I'm pretty sure Ambrose sorted it out for McLeod. It was probably one of his girls.
Close-knit family, Hamish said.
Well, yes. Ambrose is pretty loathsome, but he seems to be genuinely fond of his sister. What do you think of the toothsome Fiona now?
Beats me. Well, some of her friends would go all the way for her, but she married a slug and her brother's a pimp.
And she goes to church. Very complex.
A couple of days later, I got a postcard with the big pineapple on it. Tracy thanked me and invited me to visit Queensland any time. Maybe it was all worth it, I thought sentimentally. Then I read the last sentence. P.S. You're as weak as piss, Sid.